sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalm 107 verse 20. The message you're about to hear is a straightforward, down-to-earth and insightful teaching by Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills. Lady Reverend Adelaide serves under her husband, Bishop Dag Heward Mills, as a pastor at the Lighthouse Chapel International. Lady Reverend Adelaide is a handmaiden of God and is privileged to have been used by God to pastor and to speak the word of God, both nationally and internationally, to all ages and gender. She has a plethora of messages on many issues, experiences, and situations of life from God's perspective. Get ready to be transformed as you listen to this message by God's anointed handmaiden, Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills.
So angry. I mean, I was very angry. And I was asking myself so many questions. So much that I even began to speak words that went against God. Then just before I crossed the traffic from the New Market at Circle to the Sakoma and Odoko station, I saw this crippled man. He wanted to cross the road. And for 30 minutes, he sat there and couldn't cross. Just because he needed time to cross and the cars were not stopping for him. And then suddenly, there was a tear in my eye. I felt how ungrateful I had been to God. And I looked at the man and I asked myself, I had a whole body. And it wasn't that I was not eating. So if I was the crippled man, what would I have done? And then as I cried, this is all I could say. And tonight I want to tell you that for every circumstance that you find yourself in, no matter what you're going through, no matter where you're coming from, no where you are, you need to be grateful to God, even for the life that you have. And this is the song. Samityasi Ajay, it's in my world. Oh, Tassi, a just me, you are here. Sam, it's your seed. Jay, it's in my room. Oh, Tassi, Magic, some way. Every now and ya mami ba so many mi way mano de casa me way de brena wa ya mami ba so many mi way mano de casa me way. Now listen. Baby Nebu, I are Sabia. When you homie, now what do you say? Binum Sunam, Nancy, when you're naipo, what do you nancy? Yeah, Yari Cray, Nayari Bay. Nyan, you know, you Ebi suti arahu nansu aje sami namitsiasi ba so many mi we manu because me waye. Now let us sing. Yeah, sami tsiasi a day makes him a war. Oh, it's just
me, it's just to be quiet.
Sam is not seen. Yeah,
it's just me,
it's in my war. It's in my
war. It's just
me, it's just me. What do you want, Casa? Binum suan, then suan did. Sani Benina, Danina, dear. Bebre was sicka. What I Wawa Wunya, Bebre, pay. Then suan, you know. Wunyanija. Nansu a day, Sammy Demeti, I see. Ah, as so many, me boy, manu, because I may wait. Nansu a day, Sammy Demeti, I see. Much already, every Sunday, for me, and I make us. Me way, Sammy Tassi, me Tassi, Sammy Tassi, hey, meet him, oh. Miss Yassi, baby, I'm so many. Baby. Somebody, me with mano, yeah, baby, now I am, baby, me I'm a singer, yeah, I somebody, me with mano, yeah, baby, now I am.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Put your hands together. So many things the Lord has done for me, and I appreciate each and every one of them. I will open my mouth and I will say, thank you, Lord, for all the things that you have done for me. Please put your hands again, once again, for our brother. Put your hands once again for him. Want to put our hands and welcome Bishop Saki to introduce the preacher for tonight. Come on, put your hands together for Bishop.
Hallelujah. Please be seated. Well, we are blessed tonight. Amen. We believe that the stage has been prepared. All of us have been appropriately and adequately welcome to this Daughter You Can Make It Convention 2010. And we are very blessed and privileged to have the First Lady of Lighthouse Chapel International to be ministering to us. I believe that for every one of us, as a lady, your blessing begins with you and then touches, if you like, the fruit of your womb. But beyond that, it goes to touch generations after you. Remember that when the angel came to Mary and spoke to Mary, he told Mary that you are highly favored and blessed art thou among women. Am I right? So among Mary's contemporary, she was very blessed. Hallelujah. But the blessing that Mary had went beyond just among women. Because when Mary met Elizabeth said that, blessed is the fruit of your womb. So the blessing that if you are really blessed, it's not just among contemporaries, but beyond you, your children shall also be blessed. Then Mary herself said, after Elizabeth spoke so powerfully about her, Mary said, from now, all generation shall call me blessed. That means that thing has moved from yourself to your children and to generations after you. I believe this lady I'm talking about has been blessed mightily, amen, and a blessing reaches beyond just her immediate family and her friends, but has been a blessing to just not like our international family, but the family and the church of God. She happens to be my classmate, and I taught her many subjects, and she passed all the subjects I taught her. So I'm waiting for my offering, amen. She owes me early day offerings. But I believe that she's one of the most anointed women anybody can come across. Very gracious, very pleasant, proper Christian, has known God for many, many, many years, and has worked with God, and a life and a ministry is a challenge and a testimony to all of us. Something to desire and to want to be like. I believe that we are going to be blessed mightily today, tomorrow, and Sunday. I'd like you to stand to your feet and let's welcome the mother of the house.
Hosanna, bless the thing who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, bless the thing who comes.
Let's give Jesus a hand clap. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy. He deserves the glory. He deserves the glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Please bow your heads with me in prayer. Father, thank you for such an awesome opportunity to be a vessel that you have chosen to use tonight. I pray that your Holy Spirit will come upon me, will fill me, and will flow out of me. I pray, O God, that anything on this vessel that will be a limitation, may the blood of Jesus cover and speak for. I pray that you will anoint these lips of clay. Lord, let your word in season go to your people. Let me speak as of the oracles of God. Grant me utterance, sweet Holy Spirit. I'm nothing without you. Please, if you can use anything, use me this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Please take your seat. Daughter. Amen. I would like to welcome all of you to Daughter You Can Make It 2010. Amen. And I want to encourage you to be patient. Amen. When you were in the world and you were in ninth clubs, you were not in a hurry to leave. So now that you are in the presence of God, allow God to reach you. Amen. I want to thank God for this opportunity and to thank my husband, the bishop. Amen. For leading me in ministry and being a covering to me. I want to thank all the other bishops and all of you, my fellow minister sisters who have come from other branches, Mrs. Odonko, Ruth, Alive Women, Harvest Women, wherever you are, thank you for being here this evening. Amen. Well, as you learned from the drama, this evening I feel led by God to talk to you about the flawless lover. Hallelujah. Now, I don't mean there's no flaw for that lover, but I mean there's no F-L-A-W. Amen. Flawless as in he's impeccable, he does not make mistakes, and he will not break your heart. That is the type of lover every woman is looking for. Ladies, is that true? Hallelujah. You know, I believe that we are wired for relationships by God. Because the first reason that God gave for bringing us into man's life was that it was not good for man to be alone. Man himself did not know that he had a problem. But the one who made him and created him looked at him and said, "You have a major problem." God had said the birds of the air were good. This was, but it is not good that you should be alone. And I believe that it continues to be a plague that plagues some brothers. You still don't see that it's not good that you are alone. But we can see from your scraggly beard, the way you are, that it's not good for you to be alone. But you don't know, but the Maker says it's not good for you to be alone. And so I'll make you a woman. He could have made an extra cow, an extra fish, extra creation, but he made a woman. And when man saw the woman, he said, "Whoa, man, I've not seen anything like this before." Amen. And at that juncture, he didn't blame God. He was very excited about what God had created. It was when women made a mistake and fell, then he said, "The woman thou gavest me." But when he was happy, he didn't say, "The woman thou gavest me." Amen. And because we are wired for relationships, most of the things that mean something to us are relationship-oriented. Amen. Amen. And because of that also, our pain, our brokenness, our frustrations, the things we fight with are often in the area of relationships. Because we were brought to solve that problem. And then we ate of the forbidden fruit. And therefore we fell. And all of us now live in a fallen body. It's only the blood of Christ and his salvation that has saved us. But our bodies remain the same. Our minds, our emotions, our intellect remain the same. But the Bible tells us, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind." So this evening I pray that renewing of minds will come to us, because your mind is what leads you, and that we will be transformed by God. Hallelujah. Now, we've been through so many, some of us have been through so many relationships, and we always hoped that this will be it. That it would satisfy everything. Even if you say you don't believe it, it is often a woman's hope that she'll meet that man who will be her friend. When she coughs, he understands that, you know, today is not a good day. When she turns round, it means all is not well. But he doesn't seem to read the signs in that way. Amen. And because we don't have certain tools and certain understandings, We grapple and fight with things we should not grapple and fight with. For instance, we think that everybody else's relationship may have challenges, but ours. How many of you know that? Before you get married, you feel that, I mean, these ones are coming for counseling and they have challenges, but as for mine, I know how to maneuver. And then also, I'm a woman of a different sort and a different kind. Amen. And even sometimes, that is why we allow ourselves to destroy other people's marriages, because we feel that we are a different sort and a different kind. But if we will learn and look through the Word of God and see certain mirrors that God shows us, I think that it will help us on our journey of life. And it will also take undue pressure from the men that God brings into our lives. It is almost like you ask a woman, a man, have a baby now, be pregnant now, go through labor. It's not that he doesn't want to, but he is incapable. Amen. And has not been made like that by God. In the same way, in our walk with relationships and all that, we seem to demand from vessels of clay things that they cannot deliver. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of his power shall be of God and not of us. So yes, you are an earthen vessel. There's an excellency of power, but still, the vessel is earthen. Earthen is dirty, it's made from mud. Earthen breaks easily. Earthen is something that you have to work on, roll and all that, before you try to garnish it a bit. That's how pottery is made, ceramics, you know. It's all sand inside. So God wants to open our eyes this evening so that we will put things in the right perspective. Hallelujah. Now, when you look through the Bible, some of you are saying, but is she not going to read the Bible? 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Now, my key verse this evening, before we go to 1 Samuel, is from Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? Another version says, many men profess their own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? So, when the brothers are talking to you, they profess their goodness. You see, I'll be good to you, baby. I'll treat you right. You know, and they mean it. But when it comes to delivery, they also see that they are vessels of clay. I always say to sisters, why is it that when the man is telling you, lay your troubles on my shoulders, put your worries in my pocket. He himself, his worries cannot fit into his pocket. He needs a sack for his worries to fill in. And he's telling you, put your worries in his pocket. And you believe it. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? And it doesn't mean faithful men don't exist. Because the Bible says, a virtuous woman, who can find? But it means that they are very rare. And even when they are faithful, they are earthen vessels. But we want to make diamond out of earthen vessels. We want to make gold out of earthen vessels. We want to make silver, which even tarnishes sometimes, into earthen vessels. And God says, it's a vessel of earth. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 25. It's a well-known story, but we need to read it. Amen. Are you there? It's a very, very, very well-known story. Verse 2. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. And the man was very rich, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, And it came about while he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the man's name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. And the woman was intelligent and beautiful in appearance. But the man was harsh and evil in his dealings, and he was a Calebite. Amen. Now this is a beautiful, intelligent woman who has ended up with a Nabal. I didn't use the word fool. It doesn't come to me easily. But the Bible says that he was a fool. Amen. And that he was harsh and evil in his doings. So we know that about Nabal. And the Bible says he was a great man. On the other hand, he had 3,000 sheep. And so like Lady Pastor Irene was saying, you know, the person has the money. He's filthy rich, but there was something that was missing. Now, this man, I would say, did not have a very good relationship with his wife. Because when David came to see him and said that, look, I have my servants in the wilderness. We look after your things for you. Give us something to eat. He just insulted David. These days, people who have gotten up, they just misbehave. I mean, he spoke anyhow. And he didn't even tell his wife that any such thing had happened. Apart from that, he didn't even see what David had done. So Abigail had to go on her own through the back door to see David and all that. And then when she came back, he was having a party. The man who had refused to give David a few things was having a party. Abigail had gone and said, upon me, let this evil be upon me, and all that. So when she came, the Bible says she did not tell him what had transpired. But the next day when he was sober, she told him. And then the man died. When the man died, I want you to come with me as to what happened, okay? In the same 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 39. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and has kept back his servant from evil. The Lord has also returned the evil doing of Nabal on his own head. Then David sent a proposal to Abigail to take her as his wife. When the servants of David came to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her saying, David has sent us to you to take you as his wife. And she arose and bowed with her face to the ground and said, behold, your maidservant is a maid to wash the feet of my Lord's servants. Then Abigail slowly arose. Then Abigail reluctantly arose. Then Abigail quickly arose and rode on a donkey with her 5 maidens who attended her. And she followed the messengers of David and became his wife. David has also taken Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they both became his wives. Lady Reverend, what point are you making? I'm making the point that when David sends his servants to propose to Abigail, usually the servants are sent, like in the case of Rebecca and Isaac, and then a delegation takes you. But I submit that Abigail had such a rough time that she was in a hurry to move on from Nabal unto the next chapter. So as soon as they came, she arose. She bowed. Small message that they have brought. Oh, I want to come and just wash your feet of you, the servants. And before they could even get to David, she arose quickly, took 5 maidens, and then went, that David, I've come, marry me. Many of us look for things that don't exist. And when we are in one relationship, we are never content. Because we are looking above the wall. And we think that there's something better beyond the wall. Everybody understands that Nabal was evil. Everybody understands that Nabal was harsh. But when she arrived, Ahinoam the Jezreelite had also been married. And Abigail was now number 2. Let me ask you, do you prefer a husband who embarrasses you in public, or the one that marries many wives?
So what Abigail had done in essence was that she had exchanged problems, but she had not really gone out of the woods. And many of us are like that. Instead of working on what God has given us, we say, oh, this one looks better. This one is more caring. This one is more whatever. And we keep on going from one relationship to another. Look at the haste with which you arose. Some of you, you would even have taken a helicopter or a Concorde to go to David. But when you go to David, you realize that David himself also has his own problems. Come with me to 2 Samuel chapter 3. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel chapter 3. Are you there? The flawless lover. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 2. Sons were born to David at Hebron. His firstborn was Amnon by Ahinoam the Jezreelite. His second, Chileab by Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. And the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmiah, king of Geshur. And the fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith, and the fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Abital, and the sixth, Ithrim, by David's wife, Eglah. These were born to David at Hebron. Amen, ladies. Come with me to 2 Samuel chapter 5. We are doing Bible study. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 13. Meanwhile, David took more concubines and wives from Jerusalem after he came from Hebron, and more sons and daughters were born to him. And then they begin to list them. Like the woman at the well, we go from one relationship to another. After Abigail, you see, if even you are the second and it ends there, you will take it that you are the favorite, isn't it? But after Abigail, there comes Maacah, there comes Eglah, there come different people. And then when he moves to Hebron, he doesn't only take wives, he also takes more concubines. Now this is a man after God's own heart. Then what about the ones who are not after God's own heart? Hallelujah! Now Abigail says, oh, Nabal shouts at me, he doesn't respect me, he doesn't communicate with me, he doesn't care, the house I'm living in him I don't see. And then she goes. And then Eglah and Maacah and Ithream and all are added to you. How much time will he have to even look at you? At least Nabal was in the house with you. Jesus said to the woman at the well, you have had 5 husbands. And the one that you have now is even not your husband. No one woman can satisfy the natural man untouched by God. And no, there's nobody like that. Amen. Because when you are Miss Ghana 2010, there will be another one 2011. Amen, ladies. And this is David, a man after God's own heart. My point is that no matter the anointing, the calling, a man is basically a man. He is an earthen vessel. He has excellency of power, but basically we are all flesh and blood. Now let me ask you, ladies, why would you put your trust, your hope, your future, your everything? Some of you, even when you fall in love, you can't think anymore. When you fall in love, the things that you should see, we are telling you as pastors, what about this? What about, oh, pastor, I'm in love. Pastor, you see, maybe you don't have that kind of love. But now that we found love, what are we going to do with it? So when you find the love, now you found it, what are you going to do with it? Then you begin to struggle. David, why are you going to see Eglah? Don't go. Why are you going to eat him? Am I not there? Why are you going for? We take too much upon ourselves.
Because we look for the flawless lover in flawed vessels. Hallelujah. It's high time we looked into our own bowl and became content with what is in our bowl and worked on what is in our bowl by the grace of God. Amen. And, of course, it's a blessing to be married, but sometimes we feel that marriage is everything. I'm not whole if I'm not married. There's something wrong with me if I'm not married. When you marry to, even in this church, some people, oh, mommy, pray with me. Believe God that I'll get married. It's a good desire. I pray with you. We believe. Then some of them will come and tell me, ah, na awari enkwasi esemsa. Ade. They didn't know. Because as they see you walk it, oh, it must be very easy. Once you have the right partner in the right place at the right time, it's going to work. But you forget that even in our own relationship with God, God is perfect. We are not. And yet, in our walk with him, sometimes we suspect him. We say, does he care? Did he mean what he said? Has he forgotten about me? Does he hear me when I speak? Does he really have an ear open to me? The things that he has said in his word, will he do it? Does he prefer somebody to me? This is you and a spiritual person. How much more you and a vessel of clay? What else? Hallelujah! We expect things that cannot be delivered. You have five husbands, and the one that you are living with is not even your husband. When you look at Abraham, he had a Hagar. When you look at Jacob, he had Leah and Rachel. Everybody was flawed. And every marital relationship in the Bible is flawed. Not because the people are not good, but because the people are human. When you look at Adam and Eve, they came and they said, the woman thou gavest me. And then Eve too said, well, it's the serpent. And then blame, you know, pointing of fingers. All those things are under types of relationships, okay? So get the messages. All the things they said, daughter, when you are rejected, daughter, when don't lose hope. All the things in the drama, they are messages, but you prefer to buy what? Meat pie. Alvaro. Amen. So all these people are good people, and yet they are flawed. Lady Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that it's time to look at where we put our affection. I'm not saying don't love your husband. The Bible says the older women should teach the younger women to love their husbands. Love him, but don't make him God in your life because he is not. Love him, but he cannot meet your needs like your maker. There's no such thing. And when you listen to that whole package of types of relationships, I talk about different relationships in the Bible, and you see that, like I said, each one is flawed. Amen. But this evening, I just want to take one, because time is not on our side. One or two. I want to talk about the enabling partner, or the enabling spouse. Amen. Let's go to the book of Acts. I was trying to take you to the New Testament, but I don't think time is on our side. Amen. The flawless lover. We'll get there soon. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 10. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 10. But a certain man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard of it. And the young men arose and covered him up. And after carrying him out, they buried him. Now, there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter responded to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price." And she said, "Yes, that was the price." Then Peter said to her, "Why is it that you have agreed together to put the spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they shall carry you out as well." And she fell immediately at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Amen. As I was telling you, I don't have time to go through all the types of relationships, but I want to speak about the enabling spouse. Sometimes people are married, but the fact that the two shall be one doesn't mean the two shall be one in crime. And it doesn't mean the two shall be one in disobeying God. And it doesn't mean the two shall be one in backsliding, not paying tithe, lying. But women love so much that sometimes they love to a fault. And they love because we desire the love of a man so much that we are prepared to fall into sin with you. And we are prepared to bear the same brunt that the man bears. So when Ananias came to that, "Did you sell it for this much?" It's not that he shouldn't have taken part of the money, but the impression he gave and what was actually the truth of what he was given was not true. So the wife had connived with him. In law, we call that conspiracy or abetment. And when the husband was carried out, then she also came and they asked her. But in support of her husband, she could not stand for the truth. And many of us are sometimes like that. That is, it's a form of codependency. You want the person to need you. And you want the person to feel through that evil deed that I really need her, or she's very good for me. And we walk into all sorts of things that we shouldn't walk through. What price do we pay for love? Look at Jezebel, Naboth's vineyard. Ahab came, he turned towards the wall. The Bible says he wasn't happy, he wasn't excited. And Jezebel asked, "What's wrong with you?" So I went to Naboth's vineyard. I told him he should give it to me. I'll give him another vineyard or even money for it. And he's refused to give it to me. And instead of talking wisdom into the life of Ahab, you say, "Oh, don't worry. Are you not king? Do you not rule Israel? I'll get it for you. I'll get it for you. Let me organize the people." Then she takes a letterhead, and she writes in the name of Ahab. And she said, "Let two evil men be set there to testify against Naboth. And then let them kill him. Let it look as if it is the normal run of things. Let it look as if it's spiritual, because in Israeli law, two witnesses must come and testify. So let us look as if we are obeying God or obeying what should be done. But in actual fact, that's not what we are doing. And then let people come and stone him, because he will be found guilty. And then when they stone him, I, Jezebel, I will give you the land." Why would a woman go to such an extent? To buy the love of a man. To buy his favor. To try to be in his good books. To try to make him think well of her. She will enable him. She will. You see, we are called to be helpmeets, but sometimes the calling goes into directions that it shouldn't go. But the flawless lover will not demand this of you. A flawless lover will demand better things of you. Says, "See two worthless men before and let them testify against you. You cursed God and the king." They told a lie against Naboth, so that her husband will have what he wants at all costs, whether it's right or not. And many of us are like that. We are buying love, but at a very high price. And then this person that you buy love for, will he also stand by you in all things? We say during our marriage vows,
stand by you in all things. Look, there are certain things you'll be looking for, you will not find him. Because he has traveled, he's going on mission. Not that if he has traveled, he's not a bad person. But he just cannot be there. Amen. What is the price that a woman will pay to have a relationship, to be in her husband's good book or another man's good books, to have a man think well of her, to have a man think that this? We go too far. And often, it's not worth that sacrifice. Hallelujah. Lady Reverend, so what do? God has told us what to do. But whether we believe it is the problem. The Bible says, set your affection. Your affection is like a clock. Affection is what you desire, what you love, what you... It says, set it like a clock. Set your affection where? On 5 o'clock? No, on things that are above. But we don't believe it. Oh, I want a boyfriend that things that are from above. Jesus, is he romantic? Jesus, does he know how to be romantic? I mean, we want human beings to relate to, and it's fair. And we say, oh God, well, how can God satisfy me? But many women who have gone ahead a bit in life will join in chorus and testify with a woman at the well that only Jesus satisfies. Hallelujah. Only Jesus satisfies. God gives us friends, relationships, family to make our life here on earth a bit easier. And it is fulfilling. It is a wonderful thing. But it can never 100% answer all your needs. Amen. Those of you who are not married, why didn't you call me? Like the girl here, why didn't you come? Why didn't you this? Do you know the reason for the pressure? You are looking for love. But in all the wrong places. And it's a very elusive thing. You won't even find it. And even when you live with a good man, because he's not able to deliver 100%, your marriage can easily break because that's not what you are looking for. You are looking for perfection in imperfection. When the angels came to the tomb of Jesus, they said, why do you look for the living amongst the dead? Why do you look for perfection among the imperfect? You are also flawed as a vessel. Why do you look for living men amongst dead men? Amen. But tonight, the Lord is calling us to that place where we can put our priorities right. Somebody say amen. Where we can begin not to look for the wrong things in the wrong places. Hallelujah. I always say at women's meeting, when you look at the book of Esther, Esther was a beautiful queen. Her marriage was a public holiday. Presents were sent everywhere. The king gave presents to everybody. You, your wedding, you are expecting presents. Esther's wedding, she said they sent presents to everybody from India to Ethiopia. You are always counting how many people will come, whether the drinks will be enough. Esther's own was not like that. But in Esther chapter 4, verse 11, when Mordecai said, go in and speak to the king, so that you... She said, I have not been called by the king these 30 days. Beloved, no matter the celebration of your wedding, no matter if your wedding is a public holiday, there will come a time when for 30 days, you will not see the man that God has given you. Hallelujah! And when you are not seeing him, what will you do? You don't have a life. You don't have a God. You don't have anybody you walk with in the things of God. You're always looking. And if this man can't give, like Abigail, if Nabal cannot give to me, maybe David will give to me. So even out of your pain and your suffering, when David comes, you don't even meditate. The servants have gone, have come. Instead of them taking the message, you have saddled horses, 5 maidens, you've gone to marry. Is that how to behave? The fact that you have suffered does not give you the liberty to take decisions that are very haywire. Hallelujah. But I want to introduce you to the flawless lover. Isaiah chapter 54.
Isaiah chapter 54. And I'm ending soon. Isaiah chapter 54. Are you there? Verse 4. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame. Neither feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. But you will forget the shame of your youth, and the reproach of your widowhood you will remember no more. Why? For your husband is your maker. Fear not, you will not be put to shame. How many women have not been put to shame through the types of relationships they've been through? Have you been embarrassed like Abigail by Nabal? Have you been embarrassed sometimes before servants, before people that you shouldn't be embarrassed before, but it's like you just suffer shame? It says, fear not, you will not suffer shame. You will not be humiliated. Sometimes a relationship humiliates you. Amen. Everybody knows you are going with this person, you are going to get married, and before you know it has crashed, a humiliation has come upon you big time. It says, fear not, you will not be disgraced. I've seen husbands who have stood in public and insulted the wives. You are this. You are a harlot. You are this. And then they cried, lady pastor, everybody was standing there. Everything. Hey, God says you will not suffer disgrace. The flawless lover shields us from disgrace. He shields us from shame. He shields us from things that we have even done wrong that should make us humiliated. Man points his finger all the time. But this type of lover, he says, fear not. In spite of all your history and your things, disgrace, humiliation, shame, they won't be part of it. Fear not. Hallelujah. And then verse 5, for your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts. If somebody is your maker, the person knows everything about you. Where the screw is, where the bolt is, which part needs tightening, which part needs hammering a bit. The Lord is your maker. How many times have you been in a relationship and you are not understood? You say something, say, oh, she meant this. I didn't mean this. If you didn't mean this, you wouldn't have said this. You have to look at this verse. The Lord is my maker. Your maker knows your heart. The Bible says the Lord judges by the reins of the heart. I'm grateful. And your husband is your maker. If your earthly husband were your maker, so many of your problems would be over. Because he will understand, you know, that is why this, and because this happened, that's why this reaction. But sometimes, rather, it is used against you. But this type of flawless lover, he's your maker, and he knows where every bolt, every screw, and everything is, every hinge. Your husband is your maker. Amen. Whose name is the Lord of hosts? He's powerful. He's powerful. If you have a host of problems, he's the Lord of hosts. A host of challenges, he's the Lord of hosts. You can't find that in mortal man. Mortal man can be Lord of his little home in Kaswa, his little home in cantonment, but the Lord of hosts is a problem. He cannot be that. But the flawless lover is the Lord of hosts. Do you have a host of problems? A host of challenges? A host of things you don't understand? A host of battles? Your husband is your maker, and he is the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Let's continue. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He's sinless. The Holy One of Israel. He's sinless. But this man that you are always thinking about, I don't like the way he talks to me. He's not sinless. Amen. But this one, he's a holy God. He cannot be tempted with sin. He just stays with you all the time. That's a kind of flawless lover. Amen. Okay. Who is called the God of all the earth?
For the Lord has called you like a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit, even like a wife of one's youth when she is rejected. For the Lord has called you, God has proposed to you, like a wife forsaken and grieved. Some of us, we've been forsaken through divorce. We've been forsaken through infidelity. We've been forsaken through our own mistakes. Like a wife forsaken. But when you are forsaken, remember the other husband who is your maker. Hallelujah. Like a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit. Sometimes your grief, it has gone beyond tears, this. You have now become ama macho. Your tears can't even come. Akosua Rambo, your tears cannot flow, but your grief is within. Your grief is within. But like a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit, even like a wife of one's youth when she's rejected. One of the things that is very painful for women is rejection. And rejection comes in many forms. Sometimes when you cook for your husband, and then he looks at the food and says, "What is this?" I don't know, for some reason, we think we are on the plate. And we take it very personally. But you are not your food. You are more than your food. Amen. "Oh, please, won't you eat? Lady Reverend, he didn't eat." Of course, you should do all that you can. But at a certain point, you can't do much. You should go and sleep. "Oh, who said that?" Hallelujah. Like a wife of one's youth. You see, when it's youthful, you've heard all the raps. You remember, you went for walks and you didn't even think about snakes. "So mind the stone, darling. Mind the stone. Oh, this one, if I marry him, it will be good." Wow. So after that, when you suffer rejection, the casualty is great because you are not expecting it. Like a wife forsaken, rejected. A wife of one's youth, and then you are rejected. Sometimes people kick people's things. "Get out of here. I never loved you. I don't want to know." And these are all pastoral incidents I've come across. "I never loved you. I loved somebody else. Look, the love is finished. Get out." Whatever. Like a wife of one's youth who is rejected. I mean, a broom is used to sweep you. But you are the candidate that God is calling. That boyfriend who left you, the flawless lover, has come to replace him. Hallelujah. We are reading on, we are running. "For a brief moment I forsook you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In an outburst of anger, I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting loving kindness, I will have compassion on you." You see, Israel had sinned. So God was saying that for a brief moment, I forsook you. In an outburst of anger, I hid my face. But some people, when they are angry with you, 3 months, 1 year, or even when they talk to you every day, they'll refer to what happened. "You did this, and you are like this. You see, every time I tell you that you are like this, every time." But God said, "In an outburst of anger, I hid my face from you for a moment." It was only for a moment, so that you come to your senses. For a moment. "But with everlasting loving kindness, I will have compassion on you." Hallelujah. Ladies, it's time to turn your eyes unto Jesus. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. The reason why you are growing weak in the race is because you are looking at the wrong things. The reason why you are going weary and you want to quit is because you are looking at the wrong things. But the maker is your husband. And this evening, he offers you flawless love. Will you take it? All our energy, our investment, outflow. It's in things that don't last. And we don't invest in things that never change. When we say that you can find joy in the Lord, you can find fulfillment in the Lord, it is true. But whether you believe it is another problem. Amen. But if you just look at, like Bishop was saying the other day, statistics, you'll find out that whether you are the Queen of England, you are Lady Diana, Ethan Vessel, you are one and you are married to one. You are one and your beloved is one. Two earthen vessels. What will you do? The Bible says in this tabernacle, we groan. This tabernacle, we always struggle in it. This tabernacle, there's always, in this tabernacle, we groan. Why? Waiting for the redemption of our bodies. So stop saying, you are tall. When will you have peace? You are tall. Why do you always have a battle? You are tall. Because we are in this tabernacle. In this tabernacle, you will forever groan. But may the Lord grant us grace to start investing in our love life with Jesus. To start investing in things that will heal us. Let the word of God tell you who you are. Let the word of God heal your heart. Let the word of God heal your past. Let the word of God heal your rejection. Let the word of God heal your brokenness and even your samwayness. Let the word of God heal it. Tonight, I present to you the flawless lover. I pray that you'll choose him in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet, please. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Jesus, lover of my soul. Oh, Jesus. I will never let you go. You've taken me. You've taken me from the miry clay. You set my feet upon a rock, and now I know I love him.
Lift up your hands. Tell him you love him. Tell him you need him.
Though my world may fall,
yes,
I'll never
your
world
may
you
fall,
go.
But the flawless lover is here.
My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end.
Oh,
Jesus. I will never let you go.
Father, I pray for everyone here to discover that love. Oh God, I pray that you will open our eyes, that we may know the depth, the breadth, the length, and the height of your love, Jesus. That we may comprehend with all sin what is the length and the breadth and the depth of your love. I pray, oh God, for a new lease of life, for a new relationship with you, sweeter and deeper, Lord. Deliver us from the deceptions of this world and give us the grace to turn our eyes to you. Thank you, Jesus. You are here this evening. You don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You are not sure whether you will go to heaven or hell when you die. You want to say, Lady Reverend, pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to take hold of this flawless lover. I want to start all over again with God. I need to give my life to Christ completely. Lady Reverend, pray for me. I don't know where I'll go to if I die tonight. If you are here like that this evening, I just want you to lift up your hands wherever you are. And I'll pray for you. Lady Reverend, pray for me. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to go to heaven when I die. I want to be sure about my walk with God. God is speaking to you. If you are like that this evening, let your hands go high above your shoulder. I want to see it. God bless you. I see those hands.
I see those hands. Let them go higher. The Lord is ministering to you. The Lord is touching you where you are. God bless you for all those hands. Now, if you have put your hands up, no matter where you are standing, please take a step towards me. Give me the honor of ushering you into the kingdom of God. Come towards me now. Come to Jesus. Come towards me. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to the cross. Come to the flawless lover. Come to the man who makes a difference. You may even be a brother, but you can come and have a meaningful relationship with God. Come to Jesus. Come to the fountain of living water. Thank you for the one who makes all things beautiful. Come to Jesus. We are waiting for you wherever you are coming from. Just hurry up and come. Come to the presence of God. Come. Come to Jesus. It's the best decision you could ever make this evening. Come to Jesus. Come and give your life to Christ. Come and make a difference in your life by this decision. You came to the front. I want you to know that God honors it. I want you to close your eyes and just say this prayer after me. Let it be a prayer that is your own prayer from your heart. I'm only guiding you. Say, Lord Jesus, this evening I come to you just as I am. Please take my life and make me a new person. Jesus, thank you for coming to die on the cross for my sins. I accept your forgiveness. Thank you for rising from the dead to give me eternal life. Thank you that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father,
it was great having you today. To find out more about the resources available by Adelaide Heward Mills, please visit the Vision Bookshop at the Kodesh, North Kaneshi, or meet her on Facebook at Reverend Mrs. Adelaide Heward Mills. For prayer and counseling, please call 0243-187-900. You can also drop us an email at honeyonmylips@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, God richly bless you.